okay? Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Power. I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
The power.
I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is The Bold and the Beautiful. We are here right now. We are getting ready to start our broadcast, and I'm Curtis Austin, and we are now on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We air every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Won't you just tune in? Welcome to When Christians Talk Radio, Bold and the Beautiful.
If it wasn't for God, I'd be weak. Ay. I wouldn't wake up from my sleep. Ay. I wouldn't have nothing to eat. Ay. I wouldn't be so unique. Ay. If it wasn't for God, I would lose it. Yep. I wouldn't live under a roof, and yep. I wouldn't be up in this booth, and yep. I wouldn't know He is the truth. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been bold. The enemy would have taken my soul. But now I rise up and I surprise them like the day that He rose. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up in these foreign cars on the way to my shows. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have nada. I wouldn't be cold. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have clothes. No shoes to cover my toes. No hat to cover my head. If it wasn't for God, I would have been. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be counted out. My family down and out. I'm blessed, so without a doubt. Hey. Gotta make sure I shout it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bold and Beautiful is a talk show designed to bring the Word of God to youth and young adults around the world and embolden them to live out loud for Jesus. Our vision is to see young people of the world rising up to take their rightful place as leaders and world changers.
I'm a young girl spitting that gospel. Last time I saw the God, He said, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And they try to act like they never knew you. But the devil can't do nothing to you. Cause the
power.
I give it to Him. The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
The power.
I give it to Him.
The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
All right. Hey, family. Virtual family. This is another episode of When Christians Speak Talk Radio, Bold and Beautiful. I am here with my gorgeous, fantastic, handsome guest, Ms. Novena and Mr. Curtis. Would you say hello to the people?
All right, y'all. How y'all doing? We in the house once again.
So this is our final show for 2020. It has been a doozy of a year.
Yes.
And so we're just going to kind of do a recap of all that we have experienced and learned and all that we hope to take into 2021.
Yes.
And we are just excited for this last show of 2020.
2020.
Wow. It has been a journey. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. I need to put my light on, y'all. Hold fast. Let's put this light on. Get this good lighting going. Okay, here
All
we go.
Right.
So this is 2020. I was just saying before we started recording that one of the big things that has been heavy on me throughout this whole year was learning your lessons. I think sometimes we are quick to throw away things. If you look at social media and what people are saying, it's like, you know, let's get rid of 2020 and move forward. Like everyone is ready for 2020 to be over. 2020 did not look like everyone thought it was going to look like.
It certainly did.
Mm-hmm. You know, people were prophesying, talking about this is the year going to be the year of perfect vision and all these other kind of things. And then a whole bunch of stuff happened and people's plans were disrupted.
Yeah.
I definitely know for me, some plans were disrupted, some things I wanted to do I didn't get done. But what do I learn? Like, from it not looking like I think it's going to look, or things not happening the way I think it's going to happen. We have been through so much on so many levels. And so I know definitely going into 2021, I definitely want to make sure that I am learning the lessons in this season. And you know, it's not over. There are going to be some things that are going to continue into 2021. Like, it's not, you know, there's going to be some lingering stuff that we still dealing with in 2021. Mm-hmm. So we need to be prepared for that. So y'all thoughts, what do y'all think? What do y'all think?
Go ahead, Noreen. I'm gonna let you, the ladies first. I want to be the gentleman in 2020 going into 21.
There were a lot of things that I was looking forward to in 2020, because this is the year I retired. You know, I retired and I had my whole agenda of what I was going to do for self-care and starting my business and exercising, and a whole lot of that has been put on hold. You know, but it's okay, because I've gotten some blessings throughout this year. And in the process of this pandemic, you know, for 5 years, I've been trying to get my mom to move in with me. Well, in March, she began to move. And mm-hmm. she's still in the process of moving with me. So that's a wonderful thing. We've spent lots of time together. And as far as all that, the dance classes, the exercise class, the yoga, all that, that's put on hold, but I can still exercise around here getting my house together. I've been able to count my blessings, and I have started my business as far as the paperwork and everything. So it is getting started, but it's given me time to write the vision and make it plain and do some things on paper and set up the structure of the business. So I'm excited about that. But in the meantime, you know, I've had to look at my health and my mom's health and just do things in moderation, and lessons learned. Oh yeah, I'm journaling a lot more and counting my blessings, because it could be many other ways, but it's a lot of good that's coming. It's come to me in 2020.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it started out to be a year of some monumental things happening. In fact, I got married in February. Yes. prior to the pandemic, you know. Yeah. So that was a good thing, because, you know, and I had great expectations of where my trucking company would end up by this time of the year. Concerning because I started it, actually followed God's vision, like he said, and started October 7th, actually on my birthday of 2019. So I was really excited about what was coming. I knew I was dragging my feet on some stuff, and God had already been dealing with me about dragging my feet on some stuff. So I was moving, but not moving in the way that God would want me to move. And then once the pandemic hit, it kind of shifted, you know, the way everything, you know, really worked, basically the way I even worked. I started working from home, you know, so it gave me more time on my hands. But then I also realized is that time is one commodity that you can't get back. You know, if you spend it wrong, then you ain't going to be able to get no increase from what you spent wrong.
That's right.
You know, so I realized at this stage in my time, you know, that I spend a lot of time wrong, not doing wrong things, but not applying them in a proper space that I should have been applying. You know, God gave me some instructions about, you know, he's like, you take a lunch hour every day. You offer the lunch hour every day. Even sometimes I didn't, I just work all the way through. But he said, you offer the lunch hour every day, take the hour. And when you take that hour, put it to your business. Start calling people. I wasn't doing it. Some days I do it, and some days I won't, you know. And then so I'm still now looking back and like, man, I wasted time, you know. And like I was just telling you before we came on, it's that God, he's an awesome God. He's a wonderful God, because he's the only person I know that can whip you, but while he's exhorting you, while at the same time he's whipping you, you know. But, you know, he just been encouraging me, you know, like, man, hang your hope all the way on me. You know,
yeah,
like don't let it fall to the ground, you know, because you feel like this ain't happening fast, or you ain't been putting in the work, or you ain't done what I, man, hang it all on me. Just hang it on me and just follow my word. Watch what I do for you if you just hang it all on me, right? So that's where I'm at right now, realizing that for real, 2020, I believe it was really a year where God really shined a light on how much we really trust him. And I think that was kind of like in every area of our life, you know, especially for me, like, how much do you really trust me? And then, like, just gonna end right here. he had my cousin called me more than like 2 weeks ago, a week ago. I said, cuz, man, guess what the biggest, and he's like, what's the largest job industry market is growing right now? You know, guess what industry growing right now at a large rate? I'm like, what, trucking? He's like, yep, I just saw it on the news. He's like, man, I don't know what you're doing over there, man. You better do something with that thing, man. He said, man, listen. He said, I hate to say it like this, cuz, but I just got to get to you like I got to get to you. He said, man, for real, how you rolling, how you acting? It's like saying to God, you don't even trust him, man. I was like, I hear you, Lord. I got you. I hear you, Lord. You know, because it wasn't my cousin saying it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was just God saying, look, let me give you some more. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me give
from a familiar voice.
Yeah, you know, he's like, when everything else, he said, I get, now that, I really go in here. But let me just paint this picture. We serve a God that will tell me and give me a vision to start a trucking company before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So when everything is seemed to be, you know, lacking and people losing jobs, and I'm praying for those people, but God told me to get into a lane that's increasing while everything else is decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
If that ain't sovereignty of God, if that ain't what God
sovereign.
Said, I mean, listen, I'm looking at myself like I'm looking at myself sitting in the chair looking at me like, dumb is you, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
I'm like, hey, man. But yeah, 2020 has taught me a lot. Thank God. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. I know two things. One, I was thinking of what I realized, you know, sometimes you win some battles and you get like some experience under your belt and you're like, oh, I got this thing together, you know, I've got it together, I'm not gonna struggle with it anymore. And then when COVID hit, both of my parents, my husband's mom and dad, my in-laws, they both got very sick, went into the hospital, went into a coma. And you know, being the matriarch and patriarch of their family, you know, it started to like crumble, like, you know, people, like, it was almost like, let's start planning services, right? Both of them thankfully are recovered and are doing really well. But I realized that I still had to work on my imagination, because imagination isn't just a fun thing and something you can, you know, do to create beautiful things. You can imagine things and see and create a future that hasn't even happened yet.
Come on.
So we were creating a future where both of them had passed away, and that was not real. And I had to remember, like, okay, you need to stay in this moment. Like, you only have the grace for this moment. Don't try and think about what the author of The Shack, he calls it future tripping. He was like, you over here creating stuff and it's only real in your mind. Like, that is, that's the only place where it exists. It is not an actual reality. It only exists in your mind. And so I definitely, that was one lesson I learned this season, was like, stop imagining, like, stay in the moment. Don't create something that hasn't happened yet.
That's right.
The other thing, when you said, Curtis, when you were talking about trust, that was the other thing, is when life doesn't show up the way you think it's going to show up, or you know that you were supposed to do something and you didn't do it. Like, a lot of times, because, you know, I've learned that lesson a few times, I'm not going to lie, where, like, I was like, do something, and I was like, I'm not going to do it. A lot of times I realized is that the wonderful thing is, like, God isn't shocked by our inactivity. Like, God is like, oh, I really thought Curtis was going to do that. Oh, look at your son. I do want to hit it. Like, it's not a surprise. So I realized, like, for me, is that, like, that is a lesson for us. Like, God just wants us to see where we are. He's like, I just want you to know where you are. Like, the plan is still the plan, because I knew you weren't going to do it in the moment that I told you to do it, right? So I, even in my, sometimes in my own inactivity or if I don't follow the instructions, you know, when I get the instructions and maybe like a little after, you know, there, I may tarry a bit, if you will. The lesson in that is just God just wants me to see where I am so that I can be like, okay, like what is that hesitation? Like where is the root of that hesitation?
Mm-hmm.
What are you fearful about? What are you anxious about? What are you doubting about? And what is the root of that? Because if I'm the Alpha, the Omega, and everything in between, why are you hesitating on the instruction given? And so what I love about God is while he shows us who we are, there's still love wrapped around it. And mm-hmm. the plan is still the plan because he already knew we weren't going to move in the moment we were going to move, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's also this confidence in whether I do it in the moment or I do it 10 days later or 6 months later, the plan is the plan. Like God's plan doesn't stop or change or modify. He just wants us to see in our seasons, this is where you are. And you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, God, mm-hmm. that's where I am.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Just saying is one thing, like he said to me, he said, you know, I was talking to him about, you know, my hesitation and, you know, not doing. He said, don't you know that? I mean, he said, no, didn't you not know? Didn't you know that I knew what you were going to do in the first place? He said, that doesn't catch me off guard. He said, but you're still my choice. You're still my choice. Plain and simple. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do it.
Hey, you remind me of a parent. This also reminds me of Jonah. And God had something for Jonah to do. Mm-hmm. And he told Jonah what to do. And Jonah chose to do his own thing. He heard God, and God knew he heard him.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonah chose to do his own thing. And ultimately, and God knew Jonah was going to do his own thing. So he had prepared some things along the path that he knew Jonah was going to take. Because he had a path that he wanted Jonah to take. And ultimately, God convinced Jonah.
Yes, he did.
And how do we know this story so well, you know? And so my pastor had been preaching, because you know some messages, for anyway, my pastor was preaching about hearing, believing, and obeying. We hear the word of God and we believe it, but do we believe it enough to obey? Mm-hmm. So we're getting to a point where we know we hear God's voice. And it was a time when we could wait some time before we executed, before we obeyed, because he knows we're going to obey. But what does it take for me to obey him? Obedience is when God says it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
If we ask our children to do something and they don't do it, and you know, when we expect them to do it, it's not the same as obedience.
No.
So God is gracious with us.
Yeah.
And but when he says he wants us to do something and he's made a way for us to do it, he expects us to do it. And so he's been talking to me about this perception and perspective.
Mm.
And I'm really just started studying this, but he's also had me in Ezekiel about those dry bones. You know, we see them dry bones over there. And we can have all kinds of imaginations of what happened with those dry bones. And then God can even say, Novena, those bones going to live. The next voice is mine. And what do I perceive? What did God say? Because I want to say what he says. I can't depend on what I see. Because we got some dried up bones over there.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, speak to the bones. Because I said, I don't know what's going to happen. But if he already told me what's going to happen, all he expects me to do is say what he said.
Yeah.
Go where he said go. If he truly lives in here, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I have been with Novena. You know, it may look this way, but what filter are you looking at it through? Are you looking at it through your filter and what you can do? Or are you looking at it through my filter and what I told you to do?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm that's where I am now, because there's some things I thought would be a little different now, But this is how it is.
Yeah.
And is it well? It is well.
Yeah.
It is well.
It definitely is. No, go ahead.
No, I'm done because that's where I am. Because I think about my imagination sometimes and some of the things we've gone through in these past few months. And I was literally working myself up. And then he had to tell me that I know the number of days you will be here. I know the number of days she will be here. I know, you know, I have the plan. And all I ask you to do is trust me. Hear me, hear my voice, be close enough to hear my voice. Trust me enough to believe it and obey. Walk it out. As I've been doing that, because see, when I worry, I stress my own self out. And then I look back and it's hilarious because when I've learned to, another thing he's told me during this time is he's kept me in this Old Testament there. I think about it. Just like my eyes are on Moses, my eyes are, he was telling Joshua, just like my eyes is on Moses and I was with him. Moses is gone now. My eyes are upon you just like they were upon Moses. So that's what I have to tell myself when I feel that fear trying to grip me and all that they're saying about this pandemic and this virus. But Lord, your eyes are upon me. And just like your eyes are upon me, your eyes are upon her and upon him. And your plan will be executed. You know, I can't make anybody live. I can't make anybody die. All I can do is trust God and do what he says to do when he says to do it.
Amen.
I was just sitting there thinking about what you said about perspective, right?
Perspective.
Definitely I'm just going to use a text. So if somebody texts you, and sometimes you can look at it in a way like they not even getting smart. Like, for instance, I give you a prime example. Like, somebody had text me back and was like, I said this or whatever, right? But it wasn't smart. But the way the text read, it seemed like it was smart, right?
So with some attitude.
Out loud, my bad, like that, right? But they laughed back and then, you know, cleared it up, even though I knew they wasn't like that, doing it anyway, right? But they made sure that I knew that they wasn't doing it like
that.
Right. You know, the sad thing about it is that, you know, like you said, the way we perceive things can totally be off, you know?
Yeah.
When it comes to how God does things, you know, sometimes we can't see, like, emphasis just speaking specifically about, you know, the business I was talking about, right? Like for me, what I did was he told me start making calls, so I did,
right?
You know, I started making the calls, you know, and that's what I'm doing. So I'm doing this during the daytime and stuff like that when I have time in between, you know, when I'm doing work. And what I realized, and I didn't even realize it at first, is that even though I haven't got business yet, I have met a lot of different people that actually have trucks or companies that eventually might be my network.
Yeah.
And it popped in my head. I knew it was a God thought because it popped in my head, like, you're building a network. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was talking to somebody and as I'm explaining to them, like, I hadn't been doing it, but now I'm doing it. But one thing I read, and then it's coming out my mouth, is like, the thought was being developed in my head from an outside source, right?
Mm-hmm.
That as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm saying, but what I'm realizing is God is using me talking to these people. I'm meeting people with trucks and different types of trucks and different companies. And the next thing I know, I'm realizing I'm building a network. Yeah. It was like an epiphany, but it was a heavenly epiphany because I realized that I was... the other way I was looking at it was, I ain't getting no work, but that ain't the proper perspective. The proper perspective is that I'm building you a network. So when you get the work, you got people to give the work to.
That's right. You connect.
Yeah.
That's it. Come on,
absolutely. Everything. Everything. I definitely, another thought I was having about, 2020 is, and even though it is not as widely, you know, talked about on like our everyday news or anything, but there has been this wonderful movement towards unity, and we are more alike than we are different.
Yes.
In this season. So even amidst like turmoil and amidst loss and amidst, you know, even the violence and things that we've seen, there has also been this really big movement where people of different faiths and socioeconomic backgrounds and races and gender and, you know, all of those categories we put people in, they're coming together and rallying around people in need and, yeah, and fighting for justice together. And one of the things that I am, you know, grateful for and the ability to even see it on a small scale is this is what it's going to be like in the end, right? Like it is going to be everyone who looks, they don't look the same, they don't sound the same. You know, they may have come from different roads to get to the same place, but in the end, we will be unified. And mm-hmm. So for me, even amidst this whole thing, is I have been encouraged by seeing unity in a way I have not seen it before or mm-hmm. in recent years, I'll say. Yes. And I am hopeful that we'll carry that into 2021, like that we are more alike than we're different, and that everybody is important.
Everybody.
And, you know, and people who are, you know, reaching out and you know, being kind to strangers and just, you know, these kinds of things, these like small acts of kindness that people have been doing has been just super encouraging, because what you're seeing is God, right?
Absolutely. Like,
because it says they will know we are Christians by our love, and we yeah. say Christians, right? But you will know the Spirit of God when you see it.
Absolutely.
Because it looks like love. Right. And whether someone knows they're acting in the Spirit of God or not, like that is not the point. God created them. And if they're walking in love, they're walking in His Spirit. And absolutely. So I have been super encouraged to see like the outpouring of love, like
absolutely.
Yes. And across the nation. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, because I'm determined not to walk in fear. I'm walking in wisdom. You know, by, you know, wearing the mask and only making necessary trips out. But each time I make a necessary trip out, I make sure I connect with that person on the front line. That when I go to the grocery store, I'm grateful that those people are there to stock the shelves and bring me out and provide the things that I need, wherever I go. And in the early parts of the pandemic, I had gotten gift cards to give to people who were at the pharmacy, you know, consistent, because it was only, you know, when I go out, I normally go to the same type of places and I see those same people on the front line. And then some places the cashiers wouldn't accept the gift card. So I was like, Lord, show me how. Okay, I know we can make eye contact. They can't even see our smiles now, but the kindness and appreciation, okay, gratitude. Okay, but then he even showed me that, you know, when you pay with cash, you get change back, or, you know, just be prepared to slide them some lunch money or slide them something, let them know that I see you, I appreciate right. you. Right. And so I went to a few stores around here, and most of the people who are working are people who have to work, number one, right. and they have to eat. And they need some real money to buy real food, you know? And it's one thing for me to say, God bless you. But it's another thing to just lay it in their hand and look them in the eye and say, I appreciate you. Thank you. And just let it be and walk away. And the last time, one of the times I did it, when I walked back to my car, tears coming down my eyes. I'm like, oh Lord, you're gonna mess up the mask. But God said, when you do it for the least of them.
Yeah.
You know, some people need to see that hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. See the love.
Yeah, that's
compassion,
true.
You know, so I thank God that he's how he lives in me.
Yeah.
And literally as I live and move and have my being, it's when I set out and let him love through me.
Yeah.
Live through me. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
That's beautiful. I mean, I say it's beautiful because that's like for us, like, you know, when we first started this show, we wanted to be able to give the youth a platform to live and love out loud for Jesus.
That's right.
You know, you just out in the community and exemplifying that and what is really, you know, like on firsthand, you know, with firsthand love.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how, you know, it's amazing how, because it's really secondhand, because God gives them you, then you give to somebody else.
Right.
It's really, you know what I'm saying? It's really firsthand, but it's really secondhand. But God getting all hands, and now we give more hands, because you out there being the hands and feet of Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about for real at the end of the day. Like, this, if anything, this year has taught me is that don't take for granted the small things.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a lesson that I learned, you know, prior to going away. I learned that while away. Yeah. But at the same time, that's something that you constantly relearn too. Because sometimes you can get in the mode where social interaction, people didn't realize, you know, how vital it really is. You know what I'm saying? Not just that, just to be able to get up and go and get something that you might want. You know, you might store, when everything shut down, people were in a place where, you know, for years we experienced that behind a wall, you know, that, you know, you don't have access to what you used to have access to. And some people can't handle that. And and that's another state that, you know, like really, like when you think about it, it makes me, I have been praying about, you know, praying for people during this time too, because I realized that people are really, you know, on home detention.
Yeah. You know,
people are on home detention. And when you get to a place like that, like this Thanksgiving was one of the most strangest Thanksgivings I had, because I was with my wife family. It was like six of us, that's it. But at the same time, I called people, said hello, whatever. But it really felt like I was free, but it felt like I was away again. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just imagined like how many people that really felt that too, you know, and the impact of it to be separated from loved ones that you usually congregate with in special places and special times and special ways, but you were limited. And then I thought about those who suffered losses due to the very pandemic that we're in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then had to go through those holidays and coming up a holiday that life has literally not just changed by limiting them to outside exposure, but limited them to exposure of a loved one that they lost to.
Absolutely. And it's kept me prayerful, very prayerful, because people that I know that recently lost close loved ones. And it's like, it's really nothing you can say. You know, you just pray. And we can't even console each other with a hug or, you know, we can do it for a telephone call, maybe a Zoom call. But I have friends who are planning homegoing services via Zoom and Facebook Live, trying to make sure they can get a link in. I went to a homegoing service, a person had loved had lost a very dear loved one. And this was in the beginning of the pandemic. And that homegoing service took maybe 15 minutes. And it was so sad. You know, you couldn't even go and hug the people who had just lost their loved one. So every time I think about them, I just pray, Lord, just help him, help them, you know. And because this is the first Thanksgiving without that loved one, you know. And it just makes me very grateful for those who remain. But I still am very prayerful for those who have lost loved ones.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that the enemy will do in this time is try and make people feel like they're alone.
Yes.
I think that's one of the great tricks of the enemy. And he would take advantage of a time like this when you can't go out and you can't move around in the world and see people like you would on a normal basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the great lie, that we are alone, because the truth is that we are never alone.
Never.
We are never alone. And this isn't just about people who have walked into a church somewhere and gone up to somebody's altar. This is any living, breathing human being on this planet. You are not alone. You are created by love, in love, for love, and love is always chasing after you, right?
Always. And so always.
What you have to do is call out to love. If you don't know what his name is, call him love. I promise you he'll show up. He knows who you're talking about when you need him, right? Yes. Like, he doesn't care about our language, right? He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly where we need to be. He knows exactly what we suffer from. And so I think probably one of the things that, you know, again, about lessons learned, right, mm-hmm. is in this time, I hope we definitely need to spread the message about not being alone, and that if you just call out for love and to love and say, I need something or somebody, listen, God knows exactly who you're talking about. He'll show up on you. Yes. He will show up on you wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, whether it be in somebody's back alley, in your $5 million man, wherever you are.
Wherever.
He will find you. He will find you. And I am grateful for the presence of the Trinity in my life. Mm-hmm. And I am hopeful that even, you know, that there are testimonies that are being built in this season about how God is showing up in unusual and magnificent ways in this time when you can't, you know, go into a church service or gather with your friends or any of those kinds of things, that he is just going to be showing up in people's homes, apartments, behind cell walls, you know, in tents, under bridges, wherever you are. Mm-hmm. Going to be showing up, and I am just because I know the heart of God, and so I know that his desire is to pull out his spirit in these last days. So I know these testimonies are happening, and so if you have questions, you can of course reach out to us, Bold and Beautiful, on Instagram, Facebook. We can tell you how not alone you are, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
it is a fact.
You know, just that you said, you said something before, you just a testimony, you know, of the power and presence of God when he really, you know, wants you to know that he's really there. Sometimes it would be overwhelming, you know, but I'm just one experience that I had. It was just one of those times I was feeling alone. I was in a single cell at the time, and I was just crying out to God, like, you know, why do so many people disappear out your life when you're doing life, you know? And you know, I was talking to God about it and stuff like that. And I literally remember, you know, I was just asking him to show himself to me. I knew him already. I had a relationship, but I just wanted him. I needed him, you know. And I'm sitting on my bed, on my bunk, and all of a sudden I feel his presence. Mm. And when I feel his presence, the bunk beside me, the bed beside me, did. I was sitting right here, the bed beside me did just like this. Yeah. And that was a physical representation that he made himself so tangible that his presence was felt was in there, but the bed itself went down like this, where right beside me, as if he sat down beside me, and I felt him. Mm-hmm. That was one of the most realest experiences I had. Mm-hmm. I had so many more real experiences, but that was one of the ones where physical eyes could see an invisible God.
Yeah.
And that's what God will do, like during this time. And I really believe that in this time, sometimes too, separation means elevation, where God wants to elevate us to a place where we really do know him like that.
Yeah.
Where we do embrace him, where he's been knocking on that door so long. And I think God sometimes is looking for you to give him the opportunity. We're looking for the opportunity sometimes for things in our life, and for the dreams and hopes we have. And each year we set new dreams and new hopes and new desires and new things we run after. But I think God's greatest desire is to get that opportunity. You know, Bible says, you know, ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall find, seek, I mean, knock and it shall be open, seek and it shall find, you shall find. Mm-hmm. But God is saying, like, look, I've been knocking for a long time. I've been asking for your attention for a long time. I've been seeking your attention for a long time. And I just want to sit down next to you. That's I want to love you so much. I want to let you know how special you are to me. Somebody told you that you ain't got nothing in you, that you're not somebody that's going to be successful, somebody that is worthy, somebody that is loved, somebody that is beautiful, somebody that is handsome, somebody that ain't stupid, somebody that is smart. Somebody told you all those things. But God is saying, I want to tell you different. I want to give you what no one else gave to you. Mm-hmm. And that's a relationship you never, never, ever have to question. Well, I'm just saying, I know it for myself. And I know these women do too. And amen. I know the God that we serve wants to give himself to you that way. Yeah. And he's that real. So, I mean, we just talking. We just talking.
We just talking. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. What else? Any other lessons learned? What y'all feeling about 2020? Where you think God is? Where you think he going?
For me, it's back to perspective and perception. You know, what do I expect to happen in 2021? I expect God to live in me. Because I have to turn the TV off when they're talking about, oh, by this time, so many more thousands of people are going to be gone. I'm like, no, I So all that does is just keeps me mindful. But I know God has a plan for my life. And it's a plan to prosper me and not to harm me. And I'm looking forward to the time when I can embrace my love once again, where I can launch Salubrious, where we can use these health and wellness products. And just listening, I'm grateful. I've heard so many stories that are not sad. You know, some people are saying, I'm so glad that I've had this time to spend with my family. Mm-hmm. Or I'm glad I've had this time to launch this book club. Or I'm glad I've had this time to learn about aromatherapy and the benefits of essential oils. So somebody's going to benefit from these things that we have created, that we are producing, you know, but it's going to be, we're going to launch these things when it's people have been more mindful. Yeah. You know, ready to receive these wonderful things that God has implanted, have given us to birth, to produce, you know. And I've also, a lesson I've learned is just to, I've during this time of moving my mom from one place to another, you know, we're unboxing lots of pictures. And it's amazing when you really see, because I'm at a place now where I can see three generations above me, or at least two generations above me, and really three, my great grand, and I can see two generations, almost three generations below me, you know, and it's amazing to see how God has blessed our family, you know, and to see the circle of life. And to see, when I look at my little cousins, I see my daddy when my daddy was younger than he. You know, I remember my father was 29 years old. Then my little cousin is 40 with two little girls. Mm-hmm. And he's learned so much from Uncle John. You know, it's amazing. And it's not memories of sadness, but it's memories of God's grace and his goodness. You know, because we know more now than we did 20 years ago. Our perspective about things has changed. Our perception of things have changed. And it's going to continue to be that way because, you know, I've been young and now I'm older and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or I'll see begging bread, you know? And it's amazing to, when that word truly comes alive in us and we see it alive in our children or we see it alive in just in the earth. You know, and his word, God's word does not return to us void, you know, but it does accomplish. It does accomplish.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So that's my thing for 2021. Just to see, I'm going to keep on living to see what God is unfolding right before us.
You know? Amen. Amen. Curtis, you got something?
Yeah. So really like, so one day God was talking to me. But he told me to go back to my journal. And when I went back to my journal, I wasn't expecting this. This is just how specific and how direct God is sometimes when he really wants to point something out to you. So I opened my journal up and it fell on a page where God had specifically gave me a timeline. A timeline that he asked me to give him, that this will happen, that these things will come to pass. He gave me actually a timeline, like, this is what I'm telling you. In this time, by this time, you're going to see all of this. And it kind of just blew me away, you know, again, because at the moment I'm just saying, well, I've been dragging my feet. I've been doing this. And like I said, he's the only one that can encourage you at the same time while he's whipping you, right? But it fall when I opened it, he specifically says open journal, and the journal falls on the page that he starts speaking to me one day about what he's going to do and what timeline he's going to do it in. And now I'm really just like, really like sitting back and saying, okay, God, I'm doing the work. I'm doing this. Like right now I got a list. He gave me instructions. He says, stop trying to do research and work and call. He says, after you do your job, you know, now what I want you to do is when you get off, I want you to research the companies, then make a list. So you'll have a list for the next day and do that every evening. Yes. So you don't waste time researching when you could be calling, and then you can be working and calling. And that way you won't fall short of what I'm asking you to do. Yes. So he's just developing me into what he would have me to be doing. Mm-hmm. So as I'm thinking about these things, you know, I'm like, okay, God, you know, I trust you. Like I sit in the miracle every day. Every day I live, I sit in the miracle.
Yes.
So now it's just to the point now is now let me do the things that God has been telling me to do. And, you know, so for my biggest thing that I would say for 2020 ending and 2021 coming in and so on, that I sat back and I posted something today, and that post said that God has gave me so many promises about my bright future. Mm-hmm. And it took 16 years for the first one to come. But had not the first one come, the rest would not have happened.
Yeah.
And the second That's one right. came 6 years afterwards. So what I'm saying is that I'm believing that the rest will come, because it might have took 16 years for the first one to come, but it took 6 years for the next one to come. And it's going to be even shorter for the next one to happen. And then it's going to be even shorter for the next one to happen, but they're all going to happen because he said so. So the only thought and the only responsibility that I have in the end of 2020 and 2021 is to believe, act, and then repeat.
There it is.
That's it.
There it is. That's beautiful.
That's
one
it.
Of the things when you were talking is I heard like divine strategy. And I think God's going to be doing that for a lot of people where they may not have access to the same kind of resources or whatever that you would have had the world been open, because the world's, you know, doors half closed right about now. So I think a lot mm-hmm. of people are going to be getting divine strategies directly from the Spirit of God in this time.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful thing. We probably should have been moving like that before, but you know, when you have access to so much, you sometimes your first go-to is, you know, what can I do myself, right? Mm-hmm. I will never forget one of my old bosses. We were having a conversation about God, and he was like, and I asked him, I was like, so what is your perspective? Like, what do you think the relationship looks like? Like, I don't understand it, right? And he said to me, well, I think that, you know, what God wants is for us to do what we can. And then when we can't do something, then come to him for the big stuff. And I was like, I think probably a lot of people think like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people think that, you know, God has given them an intellect and, you know, talents or whatever to go out and do what they know to do. And then if it doesn't work or if something seems to be too big, then I'll go to God and be like, hey, God, can you help me, please? This was really big. And I think we have taken an inappropriate and incorrect perspective about the relationship, mm-hmm. because God wants us to move more intimately and more on it, like a day-to-day basis. It says to live, move, and have your being in him, right? Mm-hmm. I always think about just like getting in the river and staying in the river. Like there isn't a point in our lives where we should be out of the river, like looking at the river go by, right? It's always moving and we should always be in it. Stay in the flow. That is where all of your divine strategies, your safety, your grace, all of it is in the river. Mm-hmm. Don't try and do nothing by yourself.
Nothing.
One thing. Get it?
Yes.
Nothing.
Not yeah. One thing. One of the things I was just thinking about, I was listening to a message by he was trained as a Catholic priest. And it's very interesting because I'm also hearing in this time, there is this group called the Ragamuffins. Check them out on YouTube. And again, Paul Young from the Shack, he's a part of the group. And it's just all of these people who are, you know, fairly learned in the scriptures. And, you know, they are theologians and they've gone to seminary and all these kinds of things, but they're realizing that there is a lot of unlearning we need to do, a lot of stuff that has been, we've been indoctrinated with, like with organized religion. And we need to go about now unlearning some of the stuff that we have been taught for so many of us who have grown up like in organized churches and, you know, whatever, what is the word? Not religion, but, What is the subgroup? So Protestant or Catholic?
Oh,
or
denominations.
Denominations. Yeah.
I didn't think of the word. I haven't said in so long. But so even you know the things that separate us within denominations, and he was talking about the process of just like letting go of the things that are restrictive to not only our relationship to God, but then our relationship with others. Mm-hmm. We have, and you can see it even in this time. We so much as, you know, evangelicals or you whatever you want to call, you know, Christianity today, we are so focused on what makes us different. And I can't be a part of this group because this group, you know, they think this thing about something, or I can't be a part of that group because they said this about this one specific thing. And we often find ourselves on the side of what can we do to divide us as opposed to what can we do to bridge the gap, right? And so that's part of the unlearning is that, like we were saying earlier, that there's nobody who isn't created by God, right? So No matter what you believe today or what you may say, you are still created by the same God I was created by.
Right.
So that makes us unified in our creation story, right?
Mm-hmm. And absolutely. So
I can love you because you were created by the same love I was created by.
That's it. Yes.
And that's where it can start and end. Like that's the end of the conversation for me.
That's it.
Right.
That is the beginning and the end. And so I am unlearning some of the stuff because, you know, I've been, you know, churched myself for quite some time.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing that I was thinking about, so unlearning, that's one of the things 2020 going into 2021. And the other thing is like evolution. I definitely feel like there is kind of the wonderful thing about God is there's always forward movement.
Always.
And there is always this this opportunity and these steps that we're taking to upgrade, to evolve, to let go of things, to become more of ourselves, become more of who we're truly created to be. You know, if you know, it says, you know, that if our eye be single, we'd be filled with light. And so I know one of the things when we think about like even God being holy, right? So he was holy before sin ever entered. So holiness isn't really about sin. It's about just the nature of God and his wholeness. And so one of the things, I was listening again to some other good word and they were talking about like the root of that word is really called wholeness. It's perfection. And so it is the wonderful thing about God is he is love and he does love. So who he is as a being and what he does are the same thing. And I think that's our journey for us to come to a wholeness where who we are and what we do are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, God is merciful, so he shows mercy, right? And so who he is and what he does aren't different. And so I think that's the goal for us, right? Yes. Like that's the mark that we're pressing towards, not to try and be better or to do better. We're already created in love and by love. And the goal is for us to start walking out and actually doing what we already are.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to take the perspective of, is if when we see ourselves correctly and we see ourselves in the image of God, we will start to more easily walk in and show forth what we already are. It's just when we don't have the right perspective about who we are, right? Like if we think that we have, you know, if we are ashamed of ourselves, if we have insecurities, if we think we're stupid, or then we're going to act out and we're going to do stupid things because we think we're stupid, right? If I think I'm lazy, I'm going to, you know, be lazy, right? So it's not until we get that proper perspective on our identity that we start to walk out the wholeness and the holiness that of what God is and what we really are.
I was smiling
right, because I was driving down the street the other day and I was looking at everybody and I was like saying to myself, like, wow, just living in a world where everyone has to wear masks, right? And I was like, wow, you know, we live in a world now that everyone have to wear a mask, but the sad thing about it is God is really showing us all how we wear masks. And I just had that thought the other day that I was, you know, because like you were saying, like, I think it was like 2019, one of the last words that I did preach at my old church was removing a system and releasing a spirit. And it was just talking about getting away from, you know, the religious aspect of the legalism, you know, the segregation part of it, you know, and not really having a true experience with Jesus at the well, like the woman who was at the well.
Right. You know,
real encounter.
God wants us to have that real encounter so we can really know that everything else that people put lines in the sand about, he don't put them lines in the sand.
Right.
That's what he said, come.
Right. Just let's talk about how much I love you.
That's it.
Because really, he even with the woman at the well, he said some things about, you know, to her about, you know, what's going on. But he didn't say it in a condemning way. He said it in the regard of, I know your struggle.
Yes.
I know where you're at. That's why I took the time to meet you where you were at. You know, and I will arrange my whole schedule, change everything, take all protocol out, so-called protocol out of the picture, just so I can make an appointment with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what I really feel like God is really saying right now. Like, you know, I want people to really know who I am, not how the world has painted me, but I want people to have the experience and the encounter with me so they can begin to see their own picture. Because I don't know about y'all, but I know because of encounters with people and even family members, you know, like even with my father, because I had a wrong perception of God as my father because of my experience with my father,
right.
You know.
Right, the filters.
Right, so, you know, I mean, and he had to clarify who he was to me as opposed to what I thought he was.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know, and that's you know, ideal when you really think about it, because, you know, how can you really define someone you never ever really encountered?
Absolutely. Based upon somebody else, your experience with somebody else who may have a bad perception of who Christ is, who God is.
You say it one more time, it froze.
Oh. I said, as opposed to, how can we know who Christ is when we're looking at somebody who may be demonstrating Christ through filtered lenses? Mm-hmm. You know, they may not have had a good experience as a father. So how can they teach us about having a loving father or being that loving father? It's amazing when you really, I start looking at these, I like illusions, those pictures where you got to find, you know, what do you see? Is it an old woman or a young woman? And it's all based upon what do you see first. But then somebody says, no, but don't you see such and such? And you have to rearrange how you receive that picture, you perceive that picture, you know? And it just seeing those illusions reminds me of everything doesn't always look the way I perceive it first. Right. Perhaps I need to readjust how mm-hmm. I'm looking at a thing.
Yeah.
You know, look at it, maybe look at it from their perspective.
Yeah.
You know, they're not trying to call you out. They're just trying to let you know the truth. You know, it just depends. So it's always more than one way of looking at things. Definitely. But I think when you, like you broke it down, Jordana, about God is love. And we are love as he lives inside of us. And we just have to allow him to move in us.
Yeah.
But I want people, when they see me, I want them to see love. I don't want anybody to be afraid of me or afraid of what kind of response I'm going to give them. Or, you know, when you go to her, I don't want that. I want to be consistent. I want to be just like Jesus, you know?
Amen.
So y'all know what y'all going to get from me. You may not be. I told this lady that today, I went to her line was open. I just ran to her, you know? And she was looking at me. I said, oh, I forgot you can't see this smile underneath this mask. And I could just tell she was just laughing. Like, I saw it in her eyes. But I want people to know that I'm approachable. You know, and I hear people saying, you know, different things about me. And it's like, only by the grace of God. You know, only. You know, and I listen to him. He tells me what to do and who to give and how to make it. It's amazing. I'm like, how? Now that I'm retired, I have a lot of time to be still. I was like, how did I do this all these years when I was working? You know, he said, I was always there with you. Don't think that you made it on that subway by yourself. Or you rolled down the street with that rolling bag by yourself. I was there too.
Right. That's how you made it, because I was there.
That's how you made it.
Hey, that's how I made it.
That's how we all made it, right?
Yeah. Yes,
that is the truth. I am grateful.
Yes.
For all that every experience I've had, I'm grateful. 2020 yes. And you know, and every year before that.
Absolutely.
I want to always be able to find the good and seek out the good and see, because we can be so inundated with like negative images and negative talk so we can, you know, if you turn on that 24-hour news cycle, honey, you won't think anything good is happening in the world.
Honey. Mm.
So, you know, it is just important to keep your mind focused on what you have and what you
absolutely
have, right? Mm-hmm. Because especially, you know, there are a lot of folks who ain't made it. And so for us who have, and for us who are, you know, struggling with the loss, like we can be thankful for the time we had with our loved ones.
Yes.
We can be thankful for the memories we created with them. And we can be absolutely thankful that, you know, each day we wake up, we have the ability to have those memories, yes, right?
Yes.
We are here and we can remember, and we can, if those people in our lives who, if you know, if you've suffered loss, you can, you know, what they call pay it forward, pay that love forward to someone
absolutely
else.
Right? Yes. Like
if someone has deposited something in your life,
you got something to give.
Take something out of that bank and then you can deposit it into someone else's life and be that positive impact. So there's always something to look forward to. There's always a silver lining. The glass is always half full, 3/4, 99, you know, wherever it is, right? So much to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for more lessons and maturing and deepening my relationship in 2021. I definitely know, even in this time, you know, even though I'm working from home, I've continued to work. And so I am just now probably in the past, probably this year and maybe a little bit in 2019, working on like balance and focusing on, because it's important to do what you love and then listen, God is always talking. He's like, he's always talking through nature. He's talking through other people. He's talking in that word. He's talking in your prayer time. He's talking in stillness. Mm-hmm. And so I want to keep my ear more attuned to the voice of God in whatever form that comes in. Because sometimes we can get, you know, we can get busy, right? Even mm-hmm. even in this time, we can try and fill up our time with other stuff because, you know, other stuff may be shutting down. So now we're trying to do, you know, 10 other new things. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I definitely want to work on keeping my ear tuned for what God is speaking and how mm-hmm. he's moving.
You know how over the, I guess over the past year or so, God's been talking to me in growth. I don't know if you guys have remember me talking about growth, you know, growth mm-hmm. and these seeds. And I get yeah. so excited about these seeds.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show y'all pictures later about, I put two seeds.
Offline.
I put two seeds in the two pots of dirt, right? And you know, it's past the time to sow some seeds for harvest. But he said, put the two seeds in the dirt, in the pots. And every day I watch them grow and I try to capture it in a picture. Same thing with the celery. You know, I'm drinking a lot of celery juice. Whenever I feel anything, I just put those extracted nutrients in my body. But he's got me, so sure, I'll cut the stalk, but I'll leave the root of it, right? And there's no roots growing out of it. Mm-hmm. But every time I put them in some water, right? Every day you'll see some more growth, right? Then he says, go put them in the dirt. Oh, and it's so funny. It's hilarious. And what that does is it encourages me to continue watering myself with the word, allowing his sunlight to come on me and put me in some good soil. You know? Yeah. And I'm telling you, I'd use that celery.
Preach.
I don't mean to go there, but I'm telling you, I use that celery that's been growing. I got like maybe 10 of them now, 10 celery plants growing. But he said, just take some of it off the top and put it in your water. You don't have to grind it up and juice it. Just put it in your water. I kid you not. This water I'm drinking is at the bottom in here is some celery leaves. And I'm getting the nutrients that stalk of celery received as it grew from the sun, the water, and the soil. It's in.
Amen.
And
that's
so,
a message.
But he's giving that word growth. And every day, even if we don't see it or notice it, we are growing.
Yeah.
We are growing.
You ain't, hey, look. So you just preached the sermon, though. I ain't gonna lie to you, right?
That was a whole message.
Said, I'm receiving the nutrients that it received itself from the sun, the dirt, and the water.
Listen,
the air. That's it. The air.
Look, so what the songwriter say? That he came from on high, he died on the cross, he rose on the third day, right? How that song go?
I know which one, from the earth to the sky.
Yeah, look, you just look. If that wasn't gospel, I don't know what was. I'm telling you. You just gave gospel on that one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I heard that same message, Curtis. I heard that same message. Okay? Yeah.
So growth. Yeah. That's it. That's 2021. We're growing. And same type of thing with these oils. I'm telling you, I don't know why I was into all these trees, right? But from the trees, it's the same thing. The trees are planted in the soil. Mm-hmm. And they get the sun and the wind and the rain, and they're still standing. But when those nutrients are extracted from trees, whether it's through the leaves, through the bark, through the roots, whatever, it creates an oil. And that oil is the essence of what it took for that tree to stand.
Mm. Where's our oil?
Oh, I got, but it depends. I got it all the way from sandalwood. Sandalwood is like $60 for it's based upon how it's distilled. Come on then, because we getting distilled too. Yeah. Some of it is steam, some of it is you know, but
cold press.
The price of that oil differs because of how it was created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But whatever it took it in that environment, the dirt, the sun, the water, essence. encapsulated in that thing. So that's us. That's us.
It is.
People are getting the best of us because of some stuff that we've been through.
Absolutely.
Girl, that look, you give all these messages, girl. You better say something. You better say something. You better say something.
Bless God. I just thank God.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
But I got some oil. Y'all can get me offline with oil. Tell me what you like. Because I got the I'm doing frankincense. I'm doing lavender. I'm doing citrus type, you know, lemon and tangerine and whatever. Yeah. I'm taking a class too now. I'm taking an aromatherapy class.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look.
Be certified.
Man, one thing I say is that, like I said, time is the one commodity that you can't redeem. And you've been redeeming it, though. You ain't been spending the bag. You gain the skills. You gain
tea tree oil on his face. Yep. I make it not just hand sanitizer, but after you use the hand sanitizer, I got this germ fighter body butter. But you only need a little oil, or even a lotion. Just put a little bit on your hands and just because you don't want them all crackly, especially in the winter. That's what I'm giving for Christmas gifts.
See?
So whenever y'all want to drop by, because I've made all my a lot of samples up, but I'm still making them. So whenever y'all want to drop by,
that's beautiful.
I'm working on my labels and stuff now, but it's all good. But like you said, put all this time to good work.
Absolutely. For him. Final thoughts.
Okay, yes.
My final thought is I've determined that the places God showed me I haven't been trusted, that I will trust.
Ooh.
And that I will not look back the same time next year and say I didn't do what God said I should do.
Mm.
Amen. That's a good word. That's a good word.
My
final thought is I'm going to continue to grow in the flow. Yeah, but I'm gonna continue to grow in the flow. And y'all, after this conversation, y'all understand exactly what that means.
Absolutely, yes. That's beautiful.
Yeah. He just gave it to me.
I don't know if I have a final thought, but I will say that I hope that this time that we've had together encourages folks.
Yes.
Hope that you have. It's given you some things to think about, to, you know, take into your own quiet time, that wherever you are is okay. Feel all of your feelings, take it all to the one who created you. Even if you don't know his name, just call out to him. He knows who he is.
Yes.
And, we will be seeing you in 2021. This is our final podcast of 2020. Yes. So we thank y'all for tuning in and listening to us. You can find us again on Bold and Beautiful. When Christians Speak on Facebook and Bold and Beautiful WCS on Instagram and Twitter. So just keep a lookout for us. We'll be seeing you in 2021. You follow us as we follow over into 2021. We'll be
and we will be putting more content on our social media platform. We will be.
Don't be the best of you. So we love y'all and we will see you next year. Bye.